Welcome and thank you for connecting with Open Door Church. Today we'll be bringing God's Word through the book of Nehemiah. Many of the lessons we'll learn from Nehemiah will be on prayer, leadership, overcoming enemies, restoring hearts, integrity, and holiness. Now, with today's message, here's Pastor Luke.
I'm so excited for what God has for us today. And as I was preparing the series plan in Nehemiah and anticipating Crystalyn and her preparations for going to Haiti, I think you're going to see how this particular part of Nehemiah fits right into her story and what God has been doing in her life. Before we look into God's Word today, I just want us to ask ourselves two questions, just as we prepare our hearts and minds. First question is, what truth does God have for me today? And I know that's my job to present it, and I'm going to present it here in just a moment. But ask yourself that. What truth does God have for me today? Because we're going to cover a lot of things, and there's different things that God has put on my heart. But you begin asking, what does God have for me? What is that truth for me? Why does God have me here? And the second question is, how does that truth change my life? Because if we come here and we hear God's truth and we leave and are unchanged, it could leave us wondering why did we come, right? If we leave the same person than we showed and how we came this morning. If we leave the same way we showed up. So let's pray, and we're going to look into God's Word together. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for your Word. I thank you that your truth doesn't change. Your truth is constant. And yet, God, as we engage with the truth of who you are and what you're going to reveal to us, God, your never-changing truth constantly changes us. God, we want to leave here today different. We want to more accurately reflect the image of our Savior, Jesus Christ. God, would you speak to our hearts today and change us? And we'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we continue our journey in the book of Nehemiah, we saw that it begins with a burden, right? It begins with a burden because Nehemiah saw the gap between Israel's current condition and what he knew God wanted for them. And he was so burdened with that. We also saw that we need dependence before doing. We need dependence before doing. Nehemiah depended on the Lord to accomplish his vision. Today we're going to see the first step of action. This is when it gets exciting. This is when it gets real. This is when we see something's going to happen where it's not just theoretical. It's not just a concept. It's not just a dream. It's actually going to start taking action. However, there's actually a sequence. There's a sequence that we're going to see as this begins to take motion. The sequence is patience, plan, and then proceed. Patience, plan, proceed. If you have your Bibles or a smart device, track with me in Nehemiah chapter 2. We're going to be looking at, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 10. Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And I'm going to read these 10 verses, and then we're going to take a look at this sequence of patience, and then the plan, and then how he proceeded. It says, in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, I took up the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had not been sad in his presence. And I don't think I'm going to highlight this later, so I'm going to highlight this now. We talked about that in all of his praying and fasting and mourning, and he was so burdened, but it wasn't some public show. He wasn't trying to manipulate or coerce or put on a show for anybody. And so this time had passed, and we're going to look at that in a moment. This time had passed, but he had not yet been sad in the presence of the king. So just note that. And then verse 2, then the king said to me, why is your face sad, seeing you are not sick? This is nothing but sadness of the heart. Then I was very much afraid. I said to the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my face be sad when the city, the place of my father's graves, lies in ruins, and its gates have been destroyed by fire? Then the king said to me, what are you requesting? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king, if it pleases the king of your servant, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's graves, that I may rebuild it. And the king said to me, the queen sitting beside him, how long will you be gone? And when will you return? So it pleased the king to send me when I had given him a time. And I said to the king, if it pleases the king, let letters be given to the governors of the province beyond the river, that they may let me pass through until I come to Judah. And a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the fortress of the temple, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall occupy. And the king granted me what I asked, for the good hand of my God was upon me. Verse 9, it continues, then I came to the governors and the province beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent with me officers of the army and horsemen. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite servant heard this, it displeased them greatly that someone had come to seek the welfare of the people of Israel. This is pretty exciting. Okay, there's a lot of words in there. A lot's going on. We're going to break it down into these three categories of what I see as a sequence of patience, and then a plan, and then how Nehemiah proceeds. First, the patience we see in verse 1, very, very simply, and if you're just reading this, in the month of Nisan, okay, when is that? And is approximately or just shy of 4 months after chapter 1 in the first couple of verses, when Nehemiah inquired of those coming from Jerusalem and Israel about the condition of the people and the condition of Jerusalem. So you think about the fact that it began with a burden, and Nehemiah was so greatly burdened with where things were at, what the condition was, and what he wanted it to become, what he knew God wanted it to become. And 4 months pass. Now, sometimes we can think, well, that's not a very long time. But when we already looked at the depth of his sorrow and his burden and his agony, and he was so, so burdened with the situation. But what did he do? What was the first step in the sequence of taking action? He started by being patient. He started by being patient. And sometimes when God gives us a vision or a plan, we can be so burdened for what God wants to do in us or through us, or what God wants for our situation or for our church or for our job or for our family. And we say, the first step has to be a step forward. I'm going to charge ahead. I'm going to conquer this. I'm going to do this. And sometimes we need to embrace the healthy step of patience. To say the first thing that I'm going to do as I am burdened, and then I depend on God before I do. As we depend on God, God might say, hey, the first thing I want you to do is wait. And can I get some head nods that sometimes that's the hardest thing to do? Just wait. Especially when you know deep down inside, God wants me to do something. God has something for me to do. What is it, God? I want you to wait. But what is it? Well, that's the first thing I want you to do. I want you to wait. That's not very exciting. Wait. Yay. That can be incredibly, incredibly hard. Nehemiah had patience. But here's what we see with the plan. The second part of the sequence is the plan. And here's what I'm going to highlight through between verses 5 and 10. This is where Nehemiah is talking to the king and requesting, and he's giving him his plan. But here, as I highlight this, I want us to think about it. Nehemiah had to wait for 4 months. And sometimes when we're waiting, we say, why? Because God works in his perfect time, but he also works in human time that he has created. And he also works through human plans. And yes, we pray to God for wisdom for those plans. But if Nehemiah had a burden and he said, God, I'm ready. And God's like, okay, go talk to the king. And he talks to the king and the king says, what are you asking of me? And he went, I don't know exactly. I just know something has to happen and something has to change. There wouldn't have been a plan. And so we can see as we look at this plan, and we're going to briefly just go through and look at the elements of this plan, we're going to see that those 4 months of praying, of waiting, of depending on God, he wasn't just like anxiously like doing nothing. Like, God, I'm just waiting, I'm just waiting, I'm just waiting. No, he was praying and he was planning so that when it came time to proceed, he was ready. And we see that because of what he describes to the king. So the king asks him, what do you want from me? In verse 5, he gives him the big picture when he says, send me to Judah to rebuild it. I want to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. That's the big picture. That's what I want. And then verse 6, he talks about time frame, right? And he says, how long will you be gone? And it pleased the king once he had the time frame. So think of what he's already been thinking about. The big picture is this is what God wants me to do for God's people and for God's place. I'm going to rebuild the walls, and there's a time frame about how long I think it's going to take. In verse 7, he asked for letters for safe passage. So he already thought through the next step of the process. In order for me to get to my home country, there are going to be some practical, literal steps that I'm going to take through the countryside, through maybe some hostile territory. And when people in this foreign country see Jews returning to their homeland, that might not be just readily accepted, okay? It's not like just jumping on I-70 and driving over to St. Louis or whatever, all right? There were enemies and there were tensions. And so he said, I need some letters. So that gives me safe passage. And then verse 8, he also needed supplies. And he needed some supplies from people that probably wouldn't listen to him and his plan, but they listened to the king. So he said, King, I need some letters where you are saying to the person that's in charge of the forest, in charge of the timber, which was one of the main supplies for building, that we can get supplies for this. And then verse 9, there was also practical protection. The king sent some officers and some horses and horsemen from the army for practical protection. So do you see that when the king asked Nehemiah, what do you want? I have a plan. And yes, the plan isn't what makes it work. A cleverly devised or well thought out plan does not guarantee success. And we know that. And we see that where even the end of verse 8, where Nehemiah said, for the good hand of my God was upon me. So he was depending on God the whole way, but God also works in our preparation. He works through our planning. He wants us to prepare. He wants us to think through the process. He wants us to take care of those practical things. Also in verse 10, I think it's good to point out Sanballat and Tobiah. They apparently had been in some sort of governorship over some of the realm of Israel. So were they happy or not happy that this Jew was coming back to the homeland and concerned about the welfare, the spiritual and political strength of the Jews? They were not happy. Why? Seems pretty obvious. This is our territory. This is our control. This is our domain. This is what we have going on. They, by the way, and it's pretty obvious, they were not in tune with God's vision and God's plan for God's people and God's place. Nehemiah was. And he had a plan to carry out God's vision. And guess what? No surprise, there was opposition, wasn't there? There was opposition. I don't even need to ask for head nods. Do you ever face opposition? Oh yes, I face opposition. Do you feel like you know what God wants you to do in your life, in your relationships, in your marriage, in your family, at your workplace, here at church, wherever it might be? There's something that God has laid in front of you to do, and there is always something or someone or sometimes many things or many people that get in our way. Sometimes we get in our own way, don't we? And sometimes our worst enemy is ourselves. But whatever the vision God has given and the plan that he has put in our hearts and that we've worked through and that we've sought counsel to come up with, and we say, hey, I can see it now. I don't just see the vision, but I see the plan. I see the steps, and I can see these things that I'm going to take. And we want people to be excited about it, or we want it to be smooth sailing, and we're going to come up against opposition. Nehemiah had a plan. He was patient, and that gave him time to plan. God helped him to develop this plan, but he faced opposition. That's part of the process. If God is asking us to do something, we need to practice patience. We need to plan. And we also have to realize there's going to be opposition, right? There's going to be opposition. So Nehemiah was patient. Nehemiah made a plan. And then Nehemiah was ready to proceed. Nehemiah was ready to proceed. And we're going to be looking back at the beginning here in verses 1 through the first part of verse 5. In verse 1, it says, in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of the king of Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, what did he do? He says, I took up the wine and gave it to the king. You know what that tells me? We need to succeed today. That's what we need to do. The first step in us proceeding with our plan, which may include eventually something other than what we're doing today, it begins with succeeding today. And I'm so glad that I have older brothers, because I was very fortunate to learn from many of their mistakes. And so I learned a lot. I heard a lot of lectures sitting in the back of the room listening to my dad lecture my older two brothers. And any of you that know my older two brothers know that I got to hear a lot of lectures. And I got plenty of my own, where my dad would typically tell me, how come you didn't learn from your older brothers and you're doing the same thing? But if we're going to proceed, we have to do faithfully what we're supposed to do today. One of those lectures that I hear that just rolls over and over, and you in the military, you've heard your sergeants and superiors say this. If you want to be whatever it is that you have in your mind, where does it begin? You have to get up and do what? Make your bed. That's where it starts. And I heard, especially my oldest brother, Matthew, and I love him to death, and you can pray for him. He has some struggles in his life, and he needs prayer and love and support. But I heard so many times, Matthew would have these grandiose ideas. Listen, Dad, here's what I'm going to do. And it would be this amazing thing. And it's going to be worldwide, and it's going to change. I mean, it's this huge stuff. And then my dad had repeated this lecture so many times, he'd say, Matthew, that's great, but where does it begin? And he'd go, I know, Dad, I've got to get up in the morning and make my bed. And I'll never forget that. And I can hear my dad saying that, and I can hear my brother respond. And you know what? That reminds me, I have a lot of things in my life that are the equivalent of making my bed, including literally making my bed, okay? I got to make my bed. So I've got to be successful today. I might have plans for tomorrow. You might have plans for tomorrow. We might even have the steps all planned out, and we're excited because we see the vision. We see the steps. But before we proceed to step 2, 3, 4, and 5, we need to succeed today, don't we? We need to say, God, what have you given me to do today that I'm supposed to do and be faithful in? And then also look at verse 2. We have to succeed today, but then there's also this element of God's time. God's time and his timing. It says in verse 2, the king said to me. To me, that's significant because Nehemiah, he was patient and he had a plan, and then he was, apparently, God knew he was ready to proceed. But how did it start? It didn't start with Nehemiah saying, hey, king, let me talk to you. Like, I'm ready to go. I've got this, right? It started, he was patient and he had a plan, and I think, and I don't want to say too many of my words and put it into scripture, but it seems to me that Nehemiah was ready to and prepared to continue to practice patience and continue to pray over this plan. Maybe Nehemiah was saying, God, I'm not sure if this plan is all shored up yet. I'm not sure if it's complete. I'm not sure if it's ready. Am I really ready, God? I don't know. But I still have this burden to the point that I can't even hide the sadness on my face. And you know, when you're feeling a lot of emotion, whether it's joy or whether it's sadness, you can't hide it, right? And you know, when you're with your spouse or when you're with a close friend, you just know, right? You know when something's up. You know when or, you know, it's like, hey, what's bothering you? What do you mean what's bothering me? I'm fine. Oh no, I know something's bothering you. You're not fine. Something's up. But Nehemiah did not initiate the first step in starting this plan into action. I think God did. I think God was continuing to stir that burden, and he stirred the king's heart to take notice of Nehemiah. And there's more political things where it was actually unacceptable to have any kind of appearance that would be unprofessional or not right before the king, which brought in some of the fear and those other things. But I still think it's noteworthy that God's timing is important. God's timing is important. And then the end of verse 2, so when it says, he says, why is your face sad? When the king said to me, why is your face sad, seeing you are not sick? This is nothing but sadness of the heart. And then he says, then I was very much afraid. I was very much afraid. Why? Because that was wrong of him in his vocation to show sadness, and it wasn't right. Okay, we could get into that, but it's just, it was a fireable offense. Okay, you're here to do your job, and it's a very important job, and it was a trusted job, but he essentially, in this aspect, somewhat dropped the ball. And the king had to be like, why are you demonstrating a spirit of mourning and sadness in my presence? That's inappropriate. And that was a big deal. That was a big deal. And then the king's like, hey, instead of doing whatever I'm supposed to be doing, I'm looking at you saying, what's wrong? What's going on? And he's like, oh man, I wasn't prepared for this. Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't, but it seems like the king initiated it. And then he's like, boy, there's some fear here. Maybe we've been patient. Maybe we put together a plan. And then when it actually comes time to take the first step, have you ever felt fear, timidity, anxiety? Absolutely. I think having a burden is very, very important. Coming up with a plan is very, very important. But relatively speaking, even though that requires hard work and seeking God and all that, relatively speaking, the emotional fortitude that takes is much less than taking the first step in implementation. When God says, hey, you've been patient. Hey, you've planned. Now it's time to proceed. Whether you're ready or not, here is step one. It's coming at you. You didn't even initiate it. The king says, hey, what's up? And what do you want? And they're like, whoa, okay. And now I'm shaken. Now I'm shaken. What am I supposed to do? There's real fear and there's real risk. We could say there's real human risk, and that's true. But when God's in it, that's always the best scenario, right? When God's in it. But I'm not going to say, by the way, I'm not going to say if God's in it, you will never suffer, right? So we could say, hey, there's real risk. He could have died. The king could have said, hey, that's a fireable offense. And a lot of ways that the king would fire people was fire them from living, okay? You're fired from living. All right? He could have done that. So there's a real human risk, but being in the will of God is the safest place to be. And if you're in the will of God and God wants you to be a martyr for Christ, are you willing to say, yes, sir, I'm going to follow and obey all the way to the grave? Are we ready to say that? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were, and they said, we're going to trust our God. Our God is able to deliver us, but even if he chooses not to, we're going to go to the fiery furnace for our God. We're ready. So there is real risk, and even God's plan may end up with some suffering or may end up with death. God's plan for his son Jesus was to end up in death and then end up in resurrection, which is glorious and wonderful. But so think about that. Just because we're trusting God doesn't mean it's always going to be smooth sailing. There's some real risk, but trusting God is always the best. And then finally, proceed. Look at the end of verse 4. And the first part of verse 5, when the king says, what are you requesting? It's because he told him why he was sad. This is why I'm sad. And then he said, what are you requesting? And I love this. This is so beautiful. So this is how he responded. And this is how we should proceed. He says, so I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king. I'm like, that's perfect. That's how we should take our first step in everything we do for God. And I don't think it's not in quotes, he didn't say that to the king. He didn't say, king, I'm going to pray to God real quick, and then I'm going to talk to you. Have you ever been in a situation where you're like, okay, I got to go, I've got to do this, I have to do this thing that maybe brings some discomfort or some fear or whatever, and you're nervous about it, and while you're doing it, what are you doing? Praying like crazy. Like, Lord, I'm doing it, I need your help, I need your help, I need your help, I need your help. That's what my prayers sound like, just me and God sometimes. Just like, help, 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 help me, please. This is tough. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. Lord, this is difficult. So when he's ready to proceed, he says, this is what I did. The king says, what do you want? And I'm like, Lord, it's go time. It's go time. I'm praying to God. God was patient. You helped me with a plan. You opened up this door. It's your timing. It's go time. God, you ready? I think you're telling me I'm ready. I'm going to talk to the king. I'm going to tell him the plan. It's time to take a step. Nehemiah was ready to proceed, but he was ready to proceed because he was patient and he had a plan. And then when God said, it's go time, he said, God, I'm depending on you and I'm ready to go. So here's the question. Where are you in this sequence? And maybe we're at a different stage in this sequence in different areas in our life. Maybe you're in a time of patience. Maybe during that time of patience, you need to be reminded that there should be some planning going on, some praying and some planning. Or maybe you're ready to take that first step and to say, God, I'm depending on you and I'm ready to move forward. So answering those questions that we started with earlier, what's the truth that God revealed to you today? And how is that truth going to change your life? What are you going to do differently? How are you going to take this process of patience, planning, and be ready to proceed and say, God, help me to apply this truth to, you fill in the blank, this relationship, this situation in my life. And I'm going to follow Nehemiah just like he followed the Lord. I believe that God will use us to accomplish his vision as we embrace the sequence of patience, plan, and proceed.
We hope that you were blessed and inspired by today's message. If you would like to hear more messages like this, we invite you to Open Door Church, 4838 Meadowlark Lane in Columbia.